Today's episode is brought to you by Restaurant.com. With Restaurant.com, you can save at thousands of restaurants across the country with just a few clicks. Their dining deals range from $5 to $100, never expire, and cost you a fraction of the face value. Dinner has never been easier with Restaurant.com. Used for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Restaurant.com is offering our listeners 50% off their next purchase by going to www.restaurant.com/podcast. That's www.restaurant.com/podcast for 50% off your next purchase. Restaurant.com, the best deal every meal. Hey guys, just to let you know that I have a promo of another podcast playing at the very end of this episode, so please stay tuned until then.
This month's final reconstruction is a story of a woman's disappearance, but it's a case police now treat as murder. Trevelyne Evans will be 53, indeed today's her birthday. But back in June, on a sunny afternoon, something extraordinary must have happened to her. Think back to June the 16th. England were playing Holland in the World Cup, and the Queen's official birthday was marked by trooping the colour. Were you in North Wales? If so, perhaps you can identify some of the people in our reconstruction, and indeed, maybe you saw Mrs. Evans.
I think it's most important to stress that this is a murder inquiry. We're aware that Mrs. Evans had a wide circle of friends, both male and female, and we urge them to ring us here and contact us, and we treat whatever they say with the utmost discretion.
Hi, M&Ms. Welcome back to another episode of Murder and More. As always, I am your host, Kira. The UK charity Missing People suggests that one person is reported missing every 90 seconds, and the government website suggests that around 200,000 people go missing each year. In most cases of a missing adult or child, there may be conflict at home that the individual is trying to escape from. They may have gotten lost or simply wanted to start afresh in a new location with a new identity. These are considered normal missing person cases, and the individual is typically located safe within hours or days of them disappearing. However, the more confusing, mystifying, and maybe even just outright creepy cases are the ones where individuals vanish into thin air. They're the ones where families never get answers, where there are no credible sightings of the individual, and where in some cases, the missing person is never seen again. Trevelyne Evans was born in Llangollen, Wales, on the 6th of September 1937. There's little information regarding her upbringing or family life, but according to a post on the True Crime England blog, friends described the family as an ordinary family that was close-knit. When Trevelyne was 21, she met Richard Evans, and they tied the knot shortly after. Their first and only son, Richard Jr., was born 3 years after they met in October 1961. As with her upbringing and childhood, little is known about her and her family. It's apparent she led a fairly private life. What is known is that the couple owned a holiday bungalow, 30 miles away from their home in Rudlan. With regards to work, Trevelyne had owned and run a small antique shop called Attic Antiques, just outside of Llangollen town centre, for about a year prior to her disappearance. The shop was a lifelong dream of Trevelyne's, who loved collecting antiques. In early summer of 1990, Richard and Trevelyne travelled to the holiday bungalow to spend some time renovating it. On the 13th of June, Trevelyne packed up the solitary car the couple owned and made her way back home, leaving Richard at the bungalow. It's believed that the plan was for Trevelyan to go back to work and travel back to Rutland to collect Richard when he was done renovating the bungalow. 3 days later, on the 16th of June, Trevelyan completed her normal routine. She woke up, got ready for work, jumped in the car and drove the short distance to the shop, parking just outside and arriving at 9:30 a.m. Over the next hours, it's estimated that roughly 20 to 30 people entered the shop, some of whom were customers and others being friends of Trevelyan's, stopping in to catch up and see how she was doing. Everyone that spoke to Trevelyan that morning described her as just being her normal self and, quote, happy and relaxed, end quote. A shop owner had interacted with Trevelyan while she was buying some milk at about 10 a.m, hours before she was last seen, and reported noticing a large amount of cash in her purse when she went to pay for the milk, which wasn't found when police searched her bag later that evening.
She got in her purse, she got a wad of notes out in her hand, and then she went deep in the purse to get the exact money out. I was going to say to her, "What's your money?" But I didn't like, because she thought I was rude or something, you know. And I didn't really say anything. She just gave me the right money, and then she says, "I'll go now and have a cup of coffee," and I didn't see her again.
Soon after, a friend popped in for a coffee and a catch-up and reported that she seemed her normal self.
I've been a close friend of Trevelyan's for 11 years now, and she was happy, she looked fit, and she had lots of plans of things that she was going to do. I even popped back to the shop to remind her that we were invited to a party, and she was thrilled to be going, you know, and really wanted to go. There is no way she would have gone missing, that she would have gone away voluntarily.
The last time Trevelyan was seen by a friend was 12:30 p.m, who once again reported that Trevelyan appeared to be in a good mood. Just minutes after this, witnesses later stated seeing Trevelyan through the shop window, talking to a well-dressed man who may or may not have been wearing a suit or a polo neck. It was just 10 minutes after Trevelyan was seen by one of her friends, at roughly 12:40 p.m, that she put up a sign in the window of the shop, stating, quote, "back in 2 minutes," end quote, and witnesses driving past saw her lock up her shop and walk towards the town centre. However, 2 minutes went by, 2 hours went by, and the shop never reopened. What is known is that at roughly 1 p.m, Trevelyan bought an apple and a banana from a market situated about 5 minutes away from her shop. While it's interesting that it took Trevelyan 20 minutes to make the 5-minute walk, it's not necessarily strange, as it's reported as being a warm summer's day, and it's highly likely that Trevelyan was enjoying the sun, strolling through the town centre, maybe even doing a bit of window shopping. When Richard, who was still at the bungalow 30 miles away, attempted to make contact with his wife later that evening, knowing she typically shut the shop at 4 p.m, and she failed to answer the phone, he grew slightly concerned and asked a friend of the couple to go to the house to make sure Trevelyan was okay. However, the friend arrived at the house and found it to be dark and empty, more than likely exactly how Trevelyan had left it that morning. Growing slightly more concerned, Richard then asked the friend to go to the shop. Maybe it was as simple as Trevelyan running late with a customer. Again, they struck out when the friend reported back to Richard that the "back in 2 minutes" sign was still in the shop window, and Trevelyan's car was exactly where she'd parked it that morning. Hearing this news, Richard knew something was wrong and phoned the police to report his wife missing. The police acquired a statement from the vendor, noting that Trevelyan bought the apple and banana at about 1 p.m, however, it was unclear if she'd ever made it back to her shop. When they searched the quaint antique shop, they found no evidence of a struggle. They did find a banana peel in the bin, but it was impossible to know if it was from that day or from earlier that week. The banana peel wasn't the only thing they found in the shop. Police also found Trevelyan's handbag, car keys, some shopping, and some flowers. It remains unclear as to whether this meant that Trevelyan had returned to the shop that afternoon and left afterwards, potentially lured out, or whether she never actually returned to the shop at all. Ultimately, there is no evidence, physical or eyewitness, to determine whether she did return to the shop after she left at 12:40 to get lunch from the markets. Despite any evidence as to whether Trevelyan returned to the shop or not, door-to-door inquiries produced three interesting eyewitness testimonies. The first eyewitness testimony placed Trevelyan walking towards her home at about 2:30 p.m., an hour and a half after she was last seen. This sighting was confirmed to be Trevelyan. However, it raises more questions than it answers. If Trevelyan needed to go home for whatever reason, why didn't she walk back to her shop after leaving the market and drive home? Was she even planning on going home at all? She didn't have her handbag or car keys with her, which I would assume would have had her house key attached. Considering they were located back at the shop, she wouldn't have even been able to get into her house. It also raises the question, where was Trevelyan between 1 p.m. and 2:30? Her shop was only a 5-minute walk from the house. The next sighting places Trevelyan walking along the A5, away from her house, 5 minutes after the first sighting at 2:30. This sighting fits with the first sighting. Trevelyan was walking towards Riverside Park, which is about a 5-minute walk from her house. The timeline adds up at least. What doesn't make sense is why she was walking in that direction. If Trevelyan were to have continued walking along the A5, it would have eventually taken her to neighbouring town, Corwen. But again, this doesn't really answer any questions. If anything, it just raises more. Was she heading there? If so, why? And why wasn't she using her car? The third and final eyewitness placed Trevelyan at Park Avenue at 3:45 p.m, over an hour after she was seen walking away from her home on Market Street. She wasn't, however, seen walking into Park Avenue from the road, but from the direction of the River Dee that lies behind Park Avenue. There is an alleyway between two houses at the end of Park Avenue that backs onto the River Dee, so it's entirely plausible that she came from this direction. If this was Trevelyan, again, it just raises more questions. What was Trevelyan doing in the hour between her being seen near her home and her being seen on Park Avenue? Market Street is only 0.4 miles away from Park Avenue. It would have only taken her roughly 10 minutes to make the walk, depending on how fast she was walking and what stops she made along the way. The fact she was coming in from the direction of the river and not the road suggests to me that she had cut off of the A5 at some point and taken up a quieter route to her destination. It looks like there's possibly a lane or maybe a path that runs along the river from near her home on Market Street that ends at the alleyway on Park Avenue. If she were following this path, the question then remains, where did she go from here? And ultimately, where did she end up? At about 6 p.m. that evening, an eyewitness driving past spotted a man standing outside Attic Antiques, a man she said was wearing a Macintosh and who looked suspicious. According to the witness, the door to Trevelyan's shop may have been ajar, however she was unclear if this was the case or not. Who was this man? If the door was open, how did he get in?
Now, the day she disappeared, the evening after she vanished at 6 o'clock, was that chap seen with the car outside her shop. I should stress the witness isn't sure if the door was open or not. It might have been shut.
That's correct. The door may well have been open, but the witness is not sure. He was leaning against the car. She had a shoulder view only of him, and he was wearing what appeared to be a Macintosh with wide lapels.
The police investigated the days before Trevelyan went missing to identify if anything unusual happened. They found out that on the 14th and 15th of June, Trevelyan was seen with a grey-haired, smartly dressed man who police describe as being roughly 65 years old. On the 14th, Trevelyan was witnessed talking to this man outside of her shop at roughly 9:15 a.m, and the following day, she was seen by a woman who worked in the local opticians walking through town with the same man at about 10:30 a.m. The man, who was described by a local shop owner to be wearing a navy blue suit, carrying a black briefcase on the 15th, about 5'10" and stockily built, matched the description of the man Trevelyan was seen with on the day she disappeared.
Well, it was a Friday morning. I looked through the window and Trevelyan passed with this man who was very well dressed, in a navy blue suit and a black briefcase. Trevelyan waved, and I just thought how lovely she looked that morning.
So who was he? It was initially suggested that Trevelyan may have been having an affair, especially with Richard at their bungalow, 30 miles away. But this theory was quickly dismissed, partly due to the fact that most people would have been much more discreet if they were having an affair. Police investigated Trevelyan's strange disappearance thoroughly, with 100 officers working the case. Both Richard Sr. and Richard Jr. didn't believe that Trevelyan had walked off voluntarily. She loved her family, her marriage was a happy one, and her shop was successful. She had no reason to up and walk away from her life.
I think anyone could think about their own mother or their own father. And they know. Sometimes, you know, you can see things brewing up, but there is no way that she would go without saying anything. And, you know, we're just desperate to know what's happened, whether it be for the worse or for the better, but just to come to some sort of conclusion, because living like this is just terrible at the present time.
And the police shared this belief. Pretty much from the outset of the investigation, Trevelyan's disappearance was being investigated as a murder inquiry. By the end of June, they'd interviewed over 1,200 people, taken up to 330 statements, removed over 700 cars from the inquiry, and searched caves and mines across the town. Trained divers also searched the River Dee, as several eyewitnesses placed her walking along the river. However, again, this search turned up nothing. World's End is a narrow valley that's about a 30-minute drive from Llangollen. This was also searched, as well as using police dogs to search the dense forests surrounding the valley, but this was also fruitless. When countless searches produced no new leads, Trevelyan's husband released an appeal for information, stating that she, quote, doted on her elderly father and that she was 52 years old with wavy hair, end quote. Alongside this appeal, Richard put up a £5,000 reward for information, and Trevelyan's case was featured on Crime Watch.
My mother is a very close to her family, and she had everything to live for, and I can't see her for 1 minute going away without telling anyone what she was going to do. And I think wherever she is, it's involuntary, it's against her will. So that's our main feeling, and that's why we're so worried.
Before she disappeared, she spent 3 days up in Rutherland in our holiday bungalow, which I was doing up or refurbishing, and she was very happy. You know, she liked working up there, she liked the garden.
Despite the appeals, the Crime Watch reconstruction, all the interviews and searches, and the £5,000 reward, no one came forward with any information to indicate what happened to Trevelyan or where she may be now. Detective Chief Inspector Colin Edwards, who was heading up the investigation, said of the case, quote, "It is without a doubt the strangest inquiry I have ever been involved with. How a happily married woman could vanish without trace on a sunny Saturday morning in a busy town centre is totally baffling," end quote. In 1999, Colin Edwards said, quote, "We believe she must have been lured away, perhaps by someone she knew or thought she knew, and taken out of the area, maybe in a car. We may never know what happened to her, but we do not think she can still be alive." End quote. The mysterious disappearance of Trevelyan Evans has remained a mystery. In 2001, the case was reopened in hope that new forensic techniques would provide police with some new evidence. Police focused on what occurred in the days between Trevelyan returning to Llangollen and her disappearance. They did arrest her husband Richard in June 2001. However, he was released shortly after without charge, after providing a solid alibi. After this, again, the case went cold. There have been no new leads or new evidence since Trevelyan disappeared. There have been possible sightings of her in Australia, London, and France, but these have never been confirmed as being Trevelyan. In 1997, Trevelyan was declared legally deceased, and in 1999, Trevelyan's only son, Richard Jr., passed away of a heart attack in his 30s. On the 20th anniversary of Trevelyan's disappearance, her brother, Leonard Davies, called for the police to reopen the investigation. He told the BBC, quote, "I understand at the time the police had done all they could, but I still think they should get involved again. I cannot say you ever come to terms with it, you accept it. People you speak to have different ideas about what happened with her. Some say she might have just gone off, but I don't believe that at all. I have no idea what happened, but my opinion is that she has been abducted," end quote. In response to this plea, Superintendent Steve Gold of the North Wales Police said, quote, "Investigations such as these are never closed unless we establish what exactly has occurred and obtain sufficient evidence against individuals to mount a prosecution. We would ask anyone with information which may assist the investigation to contact North Wales Police," end quote. On the 25th anniversary of Trevelyan's disappearance in 2015, her brother, Leonard, stated, quote, "I've heard nothing at all in the last few months, not a thing, but to be truthful, I have never given up. I have never lost hope that something will turn up. This is a difficult time of year, and I've been thinking about her all week. I still think about Trevelyan a lot, and still miss her very much. I remember the Saturday she went missing as if it was yesterday. If you'd asked me what I'd been doing a fortnight before, or even yesterday, I couldn't tell you. But that day, I'll never forget." End quote. Richard Evans, Trevelyan's husband, passed away in 2015 at the age of 83, never finding out what happened to his wife all those years ago. It's now left to Leonard to keep up hope. Quote, "The officers who worked on the case at the time, the ones I got to know, have all retired. There are no new theories about what happened or any fresh evidence. And I realise the police have financial limitations. I would like the investigation to continue. I am forever hopeful of finding out what happened." End quote. The latest event in this case was in 2019, when two brothers claimed that they'd overheard a conversation whereby a man discussed that Trevelyan had been murdered and her body dumped under the bar of a golf club in Redland. Police excavated the club, but no trace of Trevelyan was ever found. There's been no activity since, no evidence that Trevelyan lived past that warm summer day in 1990. Her bank account has never been used. There have been no credible sightings. Her case is virtually as cold as it was 30 years ago. Trevelyan's disappearance is still an open case, but has remained inactive for a long while, and will remain this way until new evidence comes to light. If you have any information relating to Trevelyan's case, please contact North Wales Police on 101 or Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111. Everyone close to the case is under the assumption that Trevelyan met foul play that afternoon, but do you know who this was at the hands of? Do you know where Trevelyan's remains are? You could be the key to solving this 30-year-old mystery. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a rating and review, and Patreon to consider becoming a patron of Murder & More. As a patron, for just $2 a month, you get access to episodes early and ad-free, and you get a sticker sent to you. The link to my Patreon can be found in my show notes. To interact with us, you can follow us on Twitter and Tumblr at Murder and More, Instagram at Murder and More Pod, and Facebook at Murder and More Podcast. To view the sources and pictures for this episode, head over to www.murderandmorepodcast.wordpress.com. Have an amazing few weeks, stay safe, and I'll see you all in 2 weeks for another episode.
Hey there, true crime friends. It's Melanie Peterson, the host of Mask of Sanity. Join me as I take you through the cases of some of the world's most notorious killers and the brave men and women who risked it all to capture them. You can find Mask of Sanity wherever you listen to podcasts and hear all about the calculated madness of some of the world's most brutal killers who hid behind the mask of sanity. You won't want to miss this. Until next time, stay safe, friends.